Amen is right. How great that our God, He is alive. I am so thankful to be able to celebrate with you today that great news. I am so thankful that today, as we look at the holiday of Easter, I am so thankful that we haven't had things like that taken away from us. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to celebrate, to talk about, and rejoice that the Savior we serve is not in a grave dead. He is alive. I would also like to say thank you to a lot of folks who have worked real hard, a lot of folks who have given. You've given very generously to be able to help out the things that are going on in Ukraine. That help, that finance has helped get folks in safer places, not in luxury, not in mansions, but at least for the time being, a safer place. One of those efforts I really want to praise publicly is that of our youth minister, Justin Barnes. Justin is a great man in a lot of great ways, but he spent the last several weeks, the Easter Bunny children did hire him out. He has been a helper, okay? He wasn't the legit one, I'm sorry to tell, but he was a helper, or maybe the legit one came to your house, I don't know. But Justin has gone around, and he's made a lot of visits, and a lot of people happy, children happy, and wore a suit that probably at times was not very comfortable to wear. And then also yesterday, Chloe and Caroline, they all left their house at 6:30 in the morning, and they drove all over town doing that, and that raised $2,500 for Ukraine. You know, it's those kinds of things that make me happy to be a part of Azalea City Church of Christ. If you are here today celebrating the resurrected Lord, I'm glad you are. But if you don't have a church home, you don't have to look any further. That kind of special stuff goes on at this place all the time. Justin is one of my favorite people on the planet, and I'm guessing he's one of yours as well. So I appreciate him. I appreciate Chloe and Caroline. I appreciate all those who made eggs and put eggs together and just all kinds of things like that go on at this place. And we can do that kind of stuff because, as Jason mentioned, we serve a resurrected Savior. We serve a God who is alive. And today, we're going to honor His great name. I entitled this sermon, Hallelujah, What a Savior. I want to read the words to that song, and I want you to focus on the words. And by the end of today, may we all leave out of here united. Come back on Wednesday night. Come back on next Sunday. Go around on Monday. Go around on Tuesday. Go around every day of the week. Come back together whenever we can, all uniting in thought, uniting in praise, and saying in our hearts, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood. Sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He to die. "It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven, exalted high." Hallelujah. What a Savior. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransomed home to bring. Then anew, His song will sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The word empty. The word empty is not always a pleasant term. The word empty sometimes leaves a negative connotation. In itself, the word empty sounds very negative. You know, it's times like when you go to get that one last Oreo. That is not a picture from my house. But I wouldn't put it past some in my house to put the empty cookie container back in the pantry. But empty, boy, it just makes your heart drop. What about this one? Especially if it gets that low at $5 a gallon or whatever it is these days. $4, $3.70 something. Boy, that's a bad feeling right there. When that E, the F is a great feeling. Not when you're putting it in. But that E is really a bad feeling. Self-explanatory, right? That is a bad feeling. And so is that. Empty doesn't always have a very positive vibe. But when it comes to an empty grave, there's nothing greater. In Matthew 28 that Rhett read to us from, Matthew penned the words, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as He said. Come and see the place where He lay.'" When Mary walked into that tomb and Jesus Christ wasn't there and that tomb was empty, there is no greater feeling than a Christian can experience than the tomb being empty. The word empty today, I want to take it away from the negative for a moment. And I want to allow us, as we celebrate Jesus Christ today, as we celebrate Jesus Christ tomorrow and every day of our lives, I want us to realize that we can do it because the tomb was found empty. So what does empty mean to us as Christians? If it is not negative, then how is it positive? Today I want to talk with you what the empty tomb means. Today I want to talk with you about how that empty tomb helps us celebrate today, hallelujah, what a Savior. The first thing I want you to think about the word empty meaning to you today is this. It means earthquake. How is that positive? Well, let's get into some text. Go back to Matthew 28 now. Let's begin at the very beginning and read verses 1 through 8 together. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. At the beginning of that, we see this moment in time when an earthquake represented freedom. An earthquake allowed that stone to be rolled out of the way and for that angel to sit on the very thing that kept our Savior in. Can you imagine the thought process? I don't know if you know what Babylon Bee is on Twitter, but it is some, they put headlines out that are like, they're not true, but it's meant to be funny and parody, if you will. Well, one that I recently saw that they put out on yesterday was, like if it were in this time frame, Satan celebrates the victory. Something to that effect. Can you imagine how Satan felt? Can you imagine if that were today, the news coverage, the news media, Christians believe that their Savior was going to save them, but Satan kept him in the tomb. He even rolled a stone in front of the door. There's no way that Jesus Christ is getting out of that tomb. God said, "Watch this." Bam, there's an earthquake. When that earth quaked and that stone rolled free, Jesus was already gone. That didn't keep him in there. But the reality is, it represented entrapment. It represented everything that Christianity had hope in. That tomb, that stone, that place where he lay represented death. Remember, when God made Adam, when God made Eve, when he joined them together, the plan was to live in paradise forever. But if they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. Adam lived to be 930 years old. But then he died. Death did not come from God. Death came through Satan. Death came through sin. Because the first Adam died, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, had to overcome death. That stone, that tomb, it represented trapping our hope, trapping our freedom, trapping our security. But the grave could not hold him. The stone could not block him. The earth quaked, and the people celebrated. You remember Paul and Silas? In Acts chapter 16, they had been guilty of teaching Jesus Christ. They had been guilty of teaching in the name of the resurrected Messiah. And so they put them in prison. After they had laid many stripes on them, they shackle them up in what I believe was maximum security. They set a jailer to especially just watch them. They shackled them, their legs and their hands, they shackled them up with these chains, and they expected them to rot there forever. Instead of Paul and Silas sitting and feeling sorry for themselves because Jesus was still dead in a tomb, they knew they were celebrating the resurrected Savior, so they spent time in prayer. They spent time in song. Do you remember what God sent? That's right, an earthquake. The shackles were meant to trap Paul and Silas. The bars were meant to keep them forever. They had somebody watching them, and they were never, ever going to leave. God said, that's not the way this ends. So He sent that earthquake. He rattled those bars. He rattled those chains. And they were free to go. My question to you today, my question to all of us today, what stone, what prison, what chain has got you trapped? What is trapping your hope today? What is trapping your confidence in Jesus Christ today? What is holding you back? What is holding me back from being what I need to be for God? You got to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. But here's what I do know. Today, because empty meant earthquake, today, that empty tomb can send the earthquake to your life. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul reminds us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Today we need our lives rattled. We need the ground below us. If I'm not standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, I need the foundation I'm standing on to crumble below me. I need the stone to be rolled away. I need the bars to be broken down. I need the shackles to come off my hands. And I can do that because the tomb was found empty. Secondly, this morning, what does an empty tomb represent? An empty tomb means encouragement. Turn to Mark's account of the resurrection. And let's begin in Mark 16. And let's read verses 6 and 7 together. Mark 16, verse 6 now. But He said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go, tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him as He said to you. Here we have the same scene, but a little bit more insight. And I love the way Mark was told by the Holy Spirit to record it. This angel is telling these ladies, go back, come see. Jesus is not here. He's risen. The tomb is empty. What you need to do now is go back to where His disciples are, and you need to tell them. You especially need to tell Peter. Can you imagine when Mary and Mary get back and they say, hey John, hey Matthew, hey Bartholomew, hey Andrew, hey all of y'all, come here. I can just see Peter kind of just standing off to himself. He sees the excitement of these ladies and He's calling these disciples, but Peter, the last we saw him, was weeping bitterly. Why was he weeping bitterly? Because he let the shackles of fear keep him from defending the name of Jesus Christ. The man who said, I will never deny you. If I have to die with you, I will. Do you know the man? You were with the man. No, I wasn't. I don't know that man. Hey, that was you. You were with him. No, it wasn't. That was you. It was not me. And the rooster crowed. Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. We see in John's account at the end of it that he just has enough and he says, I'm going fishing. Can you imagine Mary saying, Peter, he especially told me to tell you. Just like that. Peter goes from feeling sorry to a world of encouragement. To a world of hope. He wants to see me? The angel told, you sure? The angel said me? Yes, Peter. He said you. Can you imagine the difference that made in Peter's life? Today, have you denied him? Today, have you cursed him? Peter did all the above. Today, have you allowed other things to get in the way of serving him? I want you to know, He's still calling us together. But specifically, He's calling your name. He wants you to know today that that tomb was left empty so that you don't have to be discouraged anymore. Thirdly, this morning, what does an empty tomb mean for us today? That empty tomb means excitement. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, let's set the scene. Mary has gotten to the tomb, John's account. She supposed the man that's talking to her to be the gardener. Now verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that he had said these things to her. Can you imagine the excitement on Mary's face? Do you remember the scene in The Chosen, if you've seen that, when Mary has all those demons and everybody shuns her, and Jesus really, for the first time in the whole scene, we really realize who he is, and he says, Mary. It's the same scene right here. He's changed his form. She doesn't recognize him physically. He's resurrected. And now all of a sudden she thinks it's the gardener and with one word changes her demeanor. He says, Mary. And she recognized the voice. Maybe it was the same voice. The very first time he called those demons out of her. Whatever it was a trigger. And she said to him, Rabboni, teacher. And he said, don't cling to me. I haven't made it to the Father yet. I'm going there though. And I want you to tell my disciples, I'm going to my Father and theirs. My God and theirs. And she gets back to the room, and I just see her bubbling over with excitement, saying, open the door, busting in. I have seen the risen Savior. When's the last time we got that excited about Jesus Christ? I hope this morning, if you haven't been to worship in a while, you got excited to come. Maybe it's your work schedule that keeps you away. Maybe it's a whole lot of other things. But whatever it is, I hope this morning, as you were putting on, as Jason said, those brand new ties and those brand new shirts and dresses and everything, or whatever it is, you were excited today because we were coming to worship the resurrected Savior. I hope it wasn't dread. I hope next Sunday we'll be excited. I hope tomorrow we'll still be excited. Because you know what we have in this room? If you're visiting with us today, you know what we have in this room? Lost people. If the tomb remains occupied. But today, because the tomb was found empty, we have people that are excited. People that are encouraged. People that are free. Mary saw the risen Savior. The tomb was found empty. She was excited. And I hope you are too. Finally, this morning, what does an empty tomb mean to us today? Oh, it means earthquakes. God can send whatever He can to free you today. Oh, it means encouragement. He's still calling your name. Oh, it means excitement because the tomb is empty. But it also means eternal life. In Acts chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked Him, this is the apostles coming to Jesus now, the resurrected Savior, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This is Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. Can you imagine the moment? There are a lot of amazing things in the Bible. Truthfully, I've never really thought about how those disciples must have felt while they were watching Him go up. There probably was some uneasiness. There probably was a little bit of nerves. Because now the responsibility lied with them. Their best friend, the Messiah, had died on the cross. And they had all scattered. But He brought them back together. He rallied them one more time. And now they watch Him go until they can see Him no more. And then the angels or whoever those men were standing next to Him said, you can look all you want, but He's gone. But can you imagine their minds then? Going back to John chapter 14. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me.
In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And the thought behind it is this: when I come back, I will bring you home. There's a song by the group A Cappella that's entitled Wedding Day. And the thought behind it is this: there's going to come a day when Jesus is in heaven, when God is in heaven, and God, again, only the Father knows the time, God's going to look to His Son at the right of Him, and He's going to say, "Jesus, go get your bride. Today's your wedding day." You see, an empty tomb today means that we can be married to Jesus Christ. Peter in John chapter 6, after all those people had left Jesus, remember He had fed the 5,000, at least men, and they were following. And He got to talking about the future, and He even got to talking about partaking of His broken body. They said to Him, "This is a hard saying." Even though they were hungry when they came there, their bellies got full. And when Jesus asked them to keep following, even through some challenging times, they said, "We'll see you later." And they all turned away. And Jesus turned to His disciples, and He said, "Do you want to go also?" But Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words to eternal life." Hallelujah. What a Savior. Today, empty doesn't have to be negative. In fact, it can be very positive. What's your earthquake? Where's your encouragement? Where's your excitement? After all, He holds the words to eternal life. Today, I want to ask you, Jesus emptied the tomb. What are we willing to empty? What are we willing to pour out? What are we willing to give? What are we willing to do? Today, the bars are set free. He's calling your name, and He holds the words to eternal life. Won't you decide now to follow Him, to empty yourselves, to be immersed in Him through baptism, or just to come back home so that we can celebrate together the empty tomb? If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.